Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us the ability to hear your voice. Give us eyes to see what you're doing. Reveal to us, God. Bring us higher. Bring us higher. Let us see. Let us be elevated. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it's been a wonderful, I've enjoyed this journey getting through presence, our five pillars. Presence,
principle,
prayer,
people,
and now today, power. They're all connected.
Yeah.
They're, you can't have one without the other, or it just turns into religion.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, religion, like, you know, they used to sing this old song when I was a kid, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. I'm not sure I'm actually praying for this.
It's good enough for me.
It was good for Paul and Silas. I don't know where I went there. I don't know.
You were saying they were all connected.
They're all connected. Principle without presence is just a list of rules. It's just a prison. But principles, the laws of God with presence. Presence speaks of relationship. It's just, if you do all the right things and you don't have relationship with the one who inspired what was written, then you're just going through the motions of life. But with presence is the key thing. Prayer is what helps us to connect. Prayer is part of our worship walk. People, you gotta have. Last week I enjoyed talking about the people of God. Yeah. I talked about the people of Dwell and what we're called to. And so today we're gonna wrap up. This is our last sermon from our pastoral team for 2019. Because next Sunday, Nicole just announced, will be our special Christmas presentation. And then the last Sunday of the month, John and Jocelyn Brockman will lead worship with our Dwell crew. And then your dad is going to be in town visiting, and your dad, Dan Brockman, who's speaking the last Sunday. How many of you have got, he's been here a couple times, visited, he's a great man of God.
Y'all just get ready.
I
love
him.
He is 6'6" and full of awesomeness.
You think John is hyper? His dad is hyperer.
Wild man Dan.
So we're thrilled about that. So anyway, I think it's so fitting that today, all that Dwell is, today that we talk about power and how we walk out power, how we live in power, how why it is a pillar to us. And when you come to our Connect classes, we talk about this power. Literally, what this is about is activating believers to demonstrate the power of heaven on earth. I want to say that again. Activating. Our mission is to activate believers to demonstrate the power of heaven on earth.
Yeah.
What I want you to understand is power ministry is not for the pulpit. Although it happens at the pulpit.
Yeah.
It happens in the church. But the invitation that is being given to us is that these signs will follow all of them who believe. We're not looking for signs, but signs are chasing us down.
Yeah.
And so our vision, our heart is to walk it out at Nova's, walk it out at In-N-Out across the street, to walk it out at Kroger. I'll get to that. You realize that not only is the Church of the Living God the kingdom, but people are what make up the house of God. We are the kingdom. The kingdom is within you. It's in us. It's on us. Jesus, I said last week, Jesus commissioned, I'm going to try to lay the foundation and then we'll dive in. Jesus commissioned his disciples toward the beginning of his ministry. He said, this is what you're to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That was Matthew 10 and 8. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he commissioned his disciples again. He said, go therefore, this is Matthew 28, I didn't give them any scriptures, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. He said, in essence, this is a continuation of what I taught you, now you go teach others to do the same thing. He told his disciples to teach their converts to do all that Jesus taught them. The assignment is the same. It didn't die out with the apostles. It did not die out with the disciples.
Right.
Jesus said, well, John the Baptist actually said it first in Matthew, the third chapter, the second verse. I also didn't give him the scripture. We've heard me say it before, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said the same exact thing in Matthew 4, 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
And the message says, change your life. God's kingdom is here.
Yeah.
I'm going to break this down a little bit. In the Passion Translation, it said, from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim his message with these words, keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible.
Wow.
This is the Passion Translation, Matthew 4:17. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. This is what they said in the Passion. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim his message with these words, keep turning away from your sins and come back to God, for heaven's kingdom realm is now accessible.
Wow.
Let me say it like this. And John, just jump in at any moment. But we're gonna take a turn, and we're gonna be on this together. But I just wanted to kind of establish somewhere, and then take off and see what happens. I don't know what's gonna happen. But Jesus said, "Repent, repent. Re means to go back to. Pent is where we get the word penthouse, like the top floor of a building. Repent, go back to this original perspective. Plan A is back on. Adam fell. The plan to subdue, to establish the reign of Jesus all over the planet. That was the original commission to Adam and Eve. Then Adam fell. Jesus made provision. Jesus restored the plan.
Yeah.
And said, now go therefore.
Yeah.
Back to plan A. Plan A is back on. It was always on. It's always been his heart. That's why he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Repent. Go back to the high perspective.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I think it's in John 4:35, do not say in 4 months, then comes the harvest. He said, but if you'll lift up your eyes. It was about elevating. He wanted to elevate their perspective. He said, if you'll lift up your eyes, you'll see the harvest is ready now. I'm sure he must have been talking to them in the season where 4 months was the expected harvest. But he said to them, don't say, in 4 months comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes and you'll see from my perspective, the harvest is ready now. He wanted to elevate. He wanted them to go back to. He wanted them to see from in a different way. Go back, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is within reach. It's just like, reach up and grab that chair in front of you. It's just easy as it is for you to grab that chair. The kingdom is that accessible. And when you access the kingdom, all that comes with him is available to you. So what does that look like in the kingdom? What does the kingdom look like? I've said it many times. Cancer is illegal in the kingdom. Wheelchairs are illegal in the kingdom. Strokes are illegal in the kingdom. And I plan to see your husband walk in here without that chair. I just want to keep saying it, declaring it, releasing it, get it in the atmosphere. And so there are things, and it's not just about miracles, like it's not just like raising the dead or casting out devils. It's all of that, but it's also the power to not give in to that porn addiction.
Also the power to help you lose weight. You know, I know it's crazy to say we get caught up in the Spirit of God and we see blinded eyes open and we see cancer dissolve, but also like the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Pass me them peas.
Yeah, and so it's really like, it's not just corporate, power's not just for the corporate, but it's for the personal body. The fruit, what it produces is self-control. And so I only say that because like I'm overweight right now. And the last 2 weeks I've been trying to shine out. But I want to be honest with you, like I prayed every day for self-control. Holy Spirit, come and help me push the Christmas cookies aside. Help me to have self-control because it's addiction is addiction. Whether it's food, whether it's porn, whether it's alcohol, whether it's Netflix, whether it's whatever. Come on. You know, we need all of those things. And so I wanted to throw that in there because a lot of times we think, you not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The same supernatural power that can jump on you and you can outrun chariots can come on you and help you to eat more carrots. Can I get an amen? How do you receive that in Jesus' name? And so, but it's self-control in all areas. Y'all gotta tweet that, you know? The same power that can come on you and help you outrun chariots will be the same power that will come on you and help you to eat more carrots.
Here's the thing. When Jesus said, we've been made to sit together in heavenly places, he wasn't talking about what happens when we die. We've been made to sit in heavenly places. This is a position we've been invited to. I think many of our chairs are empty. I said last week, what he wants to bring us to this place where we even discover our voice. We are dependent on brother or sister, whoever, in the pulpit to make all of our declarations for us. When he wants you to discover your voice. Angels, Proverbs says, give heed to the voice of his word. Most of our angels have been bored most of our life because we haven't discovered the power of us of the spoken word. What it means to declare. Jesus, we could go so many ways. We got so many different directions. But so this repent. I've been doing life like this. I've been walking in this direction. I've been seeing things like this. Repent means to turn and walk this way. Repent. Change the way you think. Unless you change the way you think, you'll never see what's right in front of you. The kingdom.
That's good.
The miraculous. A supernatural existence. I'll tell you a couple stories. This what started me on this path and this whole perspective. Nicole and I were doing some Holy Spirit conferences in Las Vegas. And we would come, this is about 18, 19 years ago started. We would go lead worship every year. And Bill Johnson would come and speak. And this was when revival started at Bethel. What we're all, the whole world knows about Bethel music now, but 18, 19, 20 years ago, it wasn't on the radar yet. But what happened, where it began, wasn't with all this great worship, but it was a perspective of a man who got a hold of a revelation. And so he would teach this, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And he said, he taught his people this, and they had an outbreak of miracles. We've seen a lot of miracles in our first year. A lot of miracles. Some of you don't see them. Some of you, it's like, if it's not the wheelchair, then it's not that big of a deal. But there are some things, and John was going to share some stuff that he's experienced. I'm going to share some stuff that I've experienced in the realm of the supernatural. I mean, like months ago, Nicole and I were in Chicago and started singing after we'd just written, "Here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes the glory of the Lord." And I got through the first chorus and the pastor's blind daughter on the front seat, her eyes open, she was healed. And it didn't even happen because we declared something specific in that particular service. We just started singing, "Here comes the glory," but it's because we walked in this theology. This is who we are. This is how we live. This is what we see. This is what we say. This is what we do. And then we walk it out, even in a moment where we didn't lay hands on somebody, but because we carry this revelation, that it just breaks out when we show up because it's the kingdom, it's not us. So it started with me about 18, 19 years ago. All of these miracles are happening at Bethel Church. And so much that the expectation, and this is why I wanted to share today, because I want your expectation to come alive. Let me just kind of, and I'm sorry I'm taking all the space, John. I want to do this and I'm going to pause to you because I want to talk about rubies in July and all of that. So Bill talks about this outbreak, and so the expectation is crazy in these, and all of his people, so much that there's a 16-year-old girl in the youth group out walking in the park, and she sees a paraplegic roll up in a chair. She's just watching me. He's got his strength, upper body strength. He lays a blanket on the grass. He lifts himself up out of the chair and kind of slides down onto the ground and makes a pallet, lays in the sun, enjoying the sunshine. And she thinks, a 16-year-old girl says, "If it worked for Joshua at Jericho, it'll work for me." So she starts walking out the principle they're teaching at church. She walks this wide circle around this man laying on the ground. And she's just kind of praying under her breath, "God, you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I declare this circle I'm walking in is your kingdom. And there are no crippled legs in your kingdom." And she prayed it a second time. She marched the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and finally the seventh time. When she made the seventh lap around this man, again, he doesn't know anything that's happening. She walks to the middle of the circle and says, "You don't need that wheelchair anymore!" Scares the guy so bad. He is up on his legs, trying to get away from this crazy scream, and he realizes, he's standing. He's standing. He's shaking. He's, "What did you do to me?" And the man is not even saved. The audacity of God to heal somebody that's not even saved. So this young teenage girl leads him in a sinner's prayer. He goes home to his unsaved family without his chair. Imagine the reception walking in the door. The only thing he knows to do is lead them in the prayer that she led him in, and the whole family comes into the kingdom because somebody demonstrated the power of God.
And I think that's where we have to, that's why we walk in that. It's so that people will see and know God is real. It wasn't just, "Ooh, cool, a miracle." It was, "Ooh, cool, a miracle. Look what God did. You can have this too." Yeah. It's not just healing. It's salvation. It's eternity. It's life.
All wrapped up in that one.
Yeah. So there's so much connected to your step of obedience.
Yes.
That's
yes.
So good.
It's like I could sit and tell you. I mean, I just became a sponge. After that service, I went and bought every Bill Johnson sermon series, every book on his table, and I bought everything since. And he's just mentored me from a distance. We've met, we know each other, but it's not like he's my buddy that I can call up on the phone. But I've learned so much because I realized, wait a second, this is my inheritance. My dad, I remember when I was 13 years old, I saw my dad raise the dead. What do you do with that? You grow up with all of these miracles. And so Bill's talking about all these miracles. I'm like, wait a second, I grew up seeing this, but I never walked in it myself. I just, and I, when I, if I needed a miracle, I'd call mom and dad because I knew they could shake heaven and get it. But what a thrill to discover the weapon that I can wield in my own hand, in my own mouth, and crush demons with a spoken word. Command hell to release people out of its grip and release heaven into a situation. And so I just started practicing it myself. And it started out, a man's shoulder got healed. He was about 65, rotator cuff was healed. I declared a testimony, his bone popped, he starts spinning his arm, he's just, I'm like, whoa! I shared the testimony a week later, two people in the room when I shared the testimony, his shoulders popped, rotator cuffs. I would share, there have been hundreds of shoulders healed. I just think it's a prophetic statement to me that God is doing a work in shoulders because his people, the instruction was to carry the glory on our shoulders, not by the mechanism of man or man's plan, but carry it on our shoulders. So I began to see God heal, I mean, literally hundreds of shoulders.
Wow.
Hundreds of shoulders. And then we saw cancer, just 60 tumors in a young teenage boy. I've shared this story here before. Just seeing miracles again and again and again. And then when we started Dwell Church, I was adamant that this was going to be a place of power. That we were going to walk out the miraculous. That we would be supernatural conduits. So then John sent us, John and Jocelyn Brockman, to be pastors with the man with so much zeal and courage to just say whatever God was saying to him.
Yeah.
Didn't even process it first. Just said it.
Yeah.
And so John, while I love the man that I've seen him grow into as a pastor. I know John is a worship leader, but I've never seen him walk in this mantle of a pastor until we started Dwell Church together. And man, all that I wish I could be, I see John dive into this gift to see, and I'm like, I'm a little jealous. But because my discernment and his discernment aren't the same, we're wired differently, but God gives us the same commission and he uses us both differently. And so I want to celebrate that. And John, and so I want to just throw it to you and let you go for a little bit. But I want to just start and talk about, it's one thing for me to tell Bill Johnson testimonies. I really like telling John Brockman testimonies and David Bennett testimonies. And so I want you to start with Ruby.
Okay.
And just spill out. Just go.
Yeah, just sharing some fun stories of these fun times with Holy Spirit. So like last Wednesday, we were in our worship and prayer, and I was over off to the side, and they were leading worship, and I was just praying, and I felt the Holy Spirit speaks to us all in different ways. And sometimes I just feel it. Anybody ever felt Holy Spirit say something? Isn't that weird? I felt him say something.
Right.
And so I felt Holy Spirit say rubies. And I'm like, rubies, rubies. And so I'm praying, and I'm like, is this personal Holy Spirit? Is this corporate? Or is this just a random word? I don't know, but I feel like you're highlighting it, rubies. So I get on Google, and I'm like, what's a ruby? I don't know what a ruby is.
You Google right there in church.
Yeah, I Google right there in church. I was like, what's a ruby? Because I want to see Holy Spirit, where is this leading? He doesn't give you the whole picture. Sometimes he just trusts you with one word, one step, and he gives you one step, then he just unlocks this whole thing. And so I see that rubies were red, and rubies were connected to the month of July. And so I'm like, red, are you speaking about your blood, Holy Spirit? What are you saying? And so I was like, maybe that's for later. So I wrote it down and didn't think anything of it. And then I went up to close the service, and Holy Spirit said, since July, rubies were connected to July, I thought, okay,
Holy Spirit said, July, highlight July. If somebody has a birthday in July, I want you to pray for them for family restoration. I was like, okay. And I'm just crazy enough to do it. And so I just said, does anybody have a birthday in July? And this one lady raised her hand. And I said, that's crazy, because you have a red shirt on. And the Holy Spirit highlighted rubies. And I said, what's your name? She says, Ruby. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool! And all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit opened this whole picture and began to give me piece by piece by piece. And we began to pray. And then Lisa jumped in on it, and she had a word too. It's just cool how the Holy Spirit, and she's wearing red today. You know, it was just like unique. And I think that's the joy in it is number one, like the Holy Spirit is for all of us.
Right, yes.
Somebody say it's for me.
It's for me.
With authority, say it's for me.
It's for me.
I want to read this scripture together. I don't know if we can put it up, but it's Luke 4:18-19. And it's actually a requote of Isaiah 61 verse 1. And this is Jesus reading in the temple, Isaiah. And I felt Holy Spirit say this morning to read this scripture. And I want us to read it together. All right, can we do that? Here we go, with authority. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Can we just receive that? Can we receive that? We see that it's for you. It's for
now
you.
Now let's quote Jesus. This day.
Yeah.
December 15th.
Yeah.
This day, the scripture is fulfilled.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Upon me.
Not just me. You said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah. And so that's where we want to challenge you, is to do something.
Yeah.
But it's not on your own strength. It's only through the power of Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Spirit has to give you the boldness. The Spirit has to give you the strength. The Spirit has to give you the words. But you just have to trust.
Yes. Yes.
So two keys to that is invitation and obedience.
Yes.
What is Holy Spirit inviting you to do? And are you being obedient to that invitation?
Right.
Your invitation will look different than mine. Some of you, he may call you to stand up in the movie theater and say, Jesus is Lord! And some of you, he may be inviting you to buy someone's lunch at Cheddar's today. I'm going to go to Cheddar's, so if you see me, I don't like it. But you understand, the key is to do something. To hear, to be able to hear Holy Spirit, and then to do whatever he says. When you started to share about how proud you were of me, I love you, and I honor you, and it means a lot. And then I start crying because of that, but then I start crying and watering up because I feel like that's my joy. It's just to be obedient.
Yeah.
The same Holy Spirit, the other day we were at the mall, and I'm always in tune. I'm always trying to stay in tune. When I walk in the mall, when I walk into my home, when I walk into the grocery store, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say through me? Is there anything you're wanting to highlight or do?
Yeah.
We're walking through the mall and we're going to buy John Miles a Christmas present on a Dallas Cowboys calendar.
A what?
He wanted a Dallas Cowboys calendar so bad. And so I went to get it, and there was this young lady there. Her name was Nicole. And I said, Nicole, how are you? I said, what's your name? She said, Nicole. I said, Nicole, are you doing good? She's like, I'm not really doing good. And I'm like, what's going on? She said, well, I just broke up with my girlfriend, and my heart's broken. Some of us would be like, you're gay? You know, we would just be like,
right.
And we immediately want to go after that spirit.
Right.
but he's near to the brokenhearted. And so I said, Nicole, I just want to tell you that Jesus is real. I didn't say, hey, I'm a pastor. And I just said, hey, I just want to tell you that Jesus is real, and he loves you, and he cares about your broken heart. I said, would it be all right here in the middle of the mall if I just put my arm around you and pray with you? She was like, absolutely. So I put my arm around her, and I was just like, Jesus, you're so good. And your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted. Would you touch Nicole's broken heart and love on her like only you can?
Yeah.
In your name, amen. And I just waited, and I hear, and I leave it there. And I let the Holy Spirit, because it's, I don't save anybody. I don't heal anybody. But my joy comes from being obedient. For years, I walked through malls and marketplace stuff and lay hands on the sick over and over and over. And I wouldn't see anything. And I went to the Lord and I said, I'm not doing this again until you heal somebody. Quit making me do this. And God said, did I ask you to heal or did I ask you to pray for them? Trust me what I'm doing, because even when you don't see it, I'm working. Even when you don't feel it, I'm working. And it's just being obedient to the invitation. So that's where we ask you. Listen,
I think it's important. I think it's important, John, that people understand that when you, I think we're scared of praying because we prayed for people and didn't see a response. So then we're embarrassed by the outcome. And so we dial it down.
Yeah.
And I think I just want to encourage you that sometimes it's the working out.
Yeah.
It's you don't see immediately when you work out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I remember I was on this plan working out with a buddy, and I'm standing in the bathroom with my hands on the sink. Nicole, I'm not even noticing, but I've got a little definition happening on the back of my arm. And babe, Nicole's over there, she's been, babe, look at your arms. But I worked and I didn't even see the change. I've since lost the definition.
It's a different definition. It's been redefined.
But the thing is, when you give yourself, when you start obeying the nudges of the Holy Spirit, it is the development. The form starts taking shape in the spirit realm, and you start working. And it's like it's the working of your faith. It's the working out of your faith. It's like, God, you said it. I'm going to do it. And then the outcome is up to you. Never is it up to me. But so a lot of times we dial it down, and I know pastors that have closed, shut it down, because they prayed enough prayers that people then didn't see the response.
Yeah.
And for me personally, it was this diving in and going after what I knew I heard God say.
Yeah.
And
taking that risk, like even if I'm wrong, I'm willing to be wrong going after the voice than doing nothing.
Yeah.
Because what could potentially be unlocked with this one step of obedience?
Right.
Could, what if? What if? Look at your neighbor and say, what if?
What if nothing happens? What if nothing happens?
What if something
does?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the journey. That's the excitement. It's like, who wants to stand and just watch somebody ride a roller coaster?
Right.
I'll wait in line and get on it. No, but I think it's exciting. It's risk. If it has no cost, it has no worth. And so it's like, if it's about you, then it's probably not about God. If it's easy for you, then is it really God, or is it, you know? And then there's the discerning of the voice at the same time. It's like, you hear God say, hey, go over there and pray for that person. You're like, is that the devil? Like, seriously, when the enemy really wants you to go pray for someone, you know?
When revival started breaking out 20 years ago, there was Toronto and Pensacola and different places. And specifically, there was this incredible revival happening in Argentina. And with it were great miracles. And the experience was in Argentina is that when they kept the prayer for the sick inside the walls of the church, they had about a 50% ratio of people that were being healed. 50%, I mean, that would be a pretty great revival if 50% of the people we saw incredible miracles. But when they took it outside the walls of the church, it jumped up to 80% of every person they prayed for got healed. Heidi Baker, every deaf person she has ever prayed for is healed. So much that she walks into these villages in Africa, Mozambique. She'll walk into villages, Muslim villages, and she'll just scream out with her. She's got orphans that she brings with her. Bring me your deaf! Because she has such confidence that the deaf will be healed. Because every deaf person she's ever prayed for, so she has learned to walk in this authority that for me it was the shoulders. I was like, you got a shoulder problem? Let's pray for it. In fact, likely there could have been someone in the room today had a shoulder healed when we just said it. I'm telling you this not to suggest that you go to Kroger today and start calling the kingdom. I mean, maybe the light comes on. Maybe you are the person that brings revival to Kroger. I don't know. I would suggest that you start small, that you start listening to the voice. I mean, you can't make something happen. You can't manufacture, but listen to the voice. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I hear my Father say. So if you try to do something on your own, you're going to fail. But if you learn how to lean in and listen to him, he will never fail.
A couple weeks ago, Micah and I went to Bonefish. Was it Bonefish? Real? Where would we go? Rocketfish. One of the fish places. And we just get together to have community fellowship and dream and encourage one another. And our waitress, I feel like her name was Deborah. We'll just go with Deborah. Sweetest lady. She was just glowing. And clearly, she had something on her wrist, a wrist cast of some sort. But then the Holy Spirit was just like, again, highlighting her. Even as we're talking, I just felt like, okay, you're wanting to do something special in her today. And I felt like she was picking up on something. Like there was some kind of, for the world, maybe like an energy, you know? Like you could tell she was drawn to our conversation. And it's just simply asking the question. And so I said, Michael, what do I want to say? And I said, Deborah, I said, how are you today? She's like, I'm doing all right. There's my invitation. Okay. So I see you got something on your hand. Do you have pain in your body? She's like, I have some back pain. And I'm like, this is going to be crazy. But can we pray for you? And I think at that point, the Spirit of God just floated Rocketfish. Like, we were just, I started to tear up. And I was like, is it okay? Because you want to ask permission to lay your hand on somebody's back in public, you know? I was like, can I lay my hands on your back and can we pray? She's like, do you believe in God? She's like, you know, most people say, yeah, I'm Catholic. Like, I'd ask you if you're Catholic, if you believe in God. And we prayed right there. And just a simple prayer through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and heal her back right now in Jesus' name. And she opened her eyes and I said, did you feel anything? She's like, I feel this tingling. Getting kind of warm. I was like, I believe by the time you go home, your back's going to be completely healed. She was like, thank you. And then the Holy Spirit was like, now encourage her.
Yeah.
I said, Deborah, you're doing amazing at your job. Jesus loves you, and you're just rocking in a Rocketfish.
Yeah.
And so it was like, wasn't it awesome, man? And then the other night, we were at, I had a gentleman, he's a Church of Christ. I share these stories to talk about inviting the kingdom in. There's a gentleman who came here on a sabbatical. He pastors a Church of Christ, but he's Spirit-filled, and they're teaching Holy Spirit. And they're walking them through the gifts and through the fruits, and it's so cool. And he was like, man, I'm going to take you out to eat. So homeboy took me to Fleming's. Anybody ever been to Fleming's? It's like those $75 steaks. You know, and I was like, all right. He's like, get whatever you want. I'm like, I'll take the 16 ounce. Because you know it's going to be dinner, breakfast, and lunch the next day. So I went from getting one free meal to three free meals, amen? And our waiter comes up. Y'all know how I work, okay. So the waiter comes up, and he puts his hand on the back of the empty chair. And I look over and I see his hand. Holy Spirit highlights his way. I was like, Holy Spirit, what do you say? And Holy Spirit says, pray for his wife's health. And I always say, hey, I know this is going to be crazy. I saw your wedding ring. I don't know if you believe in the Holy Spirit, but he's prompted me to ask you, how's your wife's health? I feel like I want to pray for your wife's health. And he was like, I'm actually a Christian, and my wife actually went in for an MRI today for shoulder problems.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, well, let's pray right now. And so the three of us, Jocelyn and our friend and this waiter, we held hands in the middle of Fleming's, and we said, right here, right now, wherever she is, heal her shoulder now. And do it in Jesus' name. Again, just the Spirit of God comes, the tear comes, and it's just being open, like, okay, let's pray here in the middle of Fleming. Let's pray, you know, just where is he inviting you to pray? What is he asking of you? It may be, because some of you, here's where I get a little frustrated, where it's like, you know, people will say, I love you. And I'm like, good, because I love you either. And it's, we put so much pressure on others, and we put pressure on the church. When the disciples came to Jesus and said the people are hungry, Jesus said, you feed them.
Yeah.
You feed them. And I feel like we all have to find our voice in his voice. We all have to be open. And whatever the next step is for you, take the step. It may be a bold step of faith to buy someone's meal today. To just go up, and you don't have to guess. And make it something that's not supposed to be. If he shows you something, then say what he says. But if he doesn't, just go up and say, hey, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Let's pray. And take that step, and whatever it is for you, walk in the power of Holy Spirit, because it's for all of us. And you just got to ask, and he'll do it.
Well, let me encourage you. Today, when Nicole asks us to break into groups of three, maybe you don't feel comfortable to do that in public yet. But you're in the house of the Lord today. We turn to groups of two or three. And be bold here. Learn. This is the place where we come to get filled up, where we learn how to practice what we're talking about. And then when we leave here, we're full of Jesus, and our mission is to go lead Jesus everywhere.
Yeah.
To leave here and lead Jesus at Fleming. Leave Jesus at Cheddar's, leave Jesus at Kroger, just come, and then come get filled up again, and come in and share your testimonies. Please, if you have some kind of encounter, please share with us the testimonies. But just start somewhere. Start somewhere. You might not go out and start walking circles around people. You may not have seen enough to be able to dive in like that, or to take the intercom at the grocery store. Maybe that's not you. It's probably going to be you, though.
Well, if he does, I want to be available.
Yeah.
And I think in order to move in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, clean hands and a pure heart.
Yeah.
Clean hands and a pure heart. Because I know people that have the gifts, but man, they are the most rotten people I've ever met in my life. And I think we have to stay humble, stay pure.
You mean rotten like me?
Like me.
Like me.
Just people that can lay hands on the sick and see them recover, but then they're so rude to people. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And it's like, man, like how can you walk in that gift, but then your fruit is, your basket just got flies in it, and it's just... So I think what Pastor's saying too, it's so important to how many of Jesus' miracles happened in the church?
There were more happened outside of the marketplace.
And Peter and Paul, most of the documented miracles happened at weddings and in the marketplace. And
in the street when a funeral procession came by.
Yeah, hey, stop.
So the thing is, start with your kids.
Yes.
Just be bold with your kids. Sometimes we get so intimidated that we don't even pray with our family unless it's praying for lunch or dinner.
Yeah. Come on.
Start getting bold, praying with your kids.
Yeah.
Or praying with your circle at church, however it works. And don't think you have to be Superman overnight.
Right.
It's something that you work into. Even Clark Kent had to. Never mind, stop.
I didn't know how we were going to end this thing today, but I
did.
You did?
I wanted to say, there are things, I think we assume sometimes, in a spiritual church, we know we're a spiritual church, You've heard us speak in tongues. In Acts, first chapter 8, verse 6, you shall receive power.
Yeah.
Everybody say power.
Power.
After the Holy Ghost comes upon you.
Yes.
There could be people that have been at dwell from the day one that may not be filled with Spirit.
Yes.
And that's not to scare you or condemn you, but it's available to you. You don't have to have it. You get to have it.
Right.
And there is a significant difference when I believe it was Peter, had gone to a village and said, have you received the power since you believed? We didn't know there was a Holy Spirit to receive. They were Christians, but they hadn't received the Spirit. There is a significant difference of the born again experience. I know people that are in denominational churches that have such a gift of ministry for people, that love God and pray for people and walk things out. And God can speak to you if you're not filled with the Spirit. There's an essence, there is a degree of His presence that comes in you when Jesus lives in your heart. There's a degree of His presence, but there's a significant change when the Holy Spirit indwells in you and the gift of tongues comes and it edifies you. We're instructed in the Word to pray in the Holy Spirit, how it will build us up in our faith. So,
yeah, there's we did this during Pentecost, when we were celebrating Pentecost. We gave everyone an invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to do anything special except to ask. I mean, that is very special, but it's not like you got to be a certain age or a certain color or have a certain stature. You just ask, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you may speak in tongues, you may prophesy, you may feel nothing at the moment, but walk away and you feel this power come on you. But it starts with just asking for the Holy Spirit to come and say, just I surrender. Make me the glove, you be the hand. Make me the speaker, you be the voice. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, would you do it through me? I want the more of you. I want to take this journey. And then there, I think it's asking every day. We pray this over our kids every morning. Holy Spirit, fill them and use them every day. A daily filling of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.